The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside, issue number 134. John, what's the title?
Made in Korea.
Oh, it was highly contested. Stay tuned.
What could have been?
Plane tickets were bought. Gloves were on. Oh, it was crazy talk. Yeah. Oh, actually, we did. We had a debate this week on what the title was going to be. So check that out. And when we get into the store, we have a debate on whether to do this anymore.
Yeah.
John's like, why? Let's just do the show. Because I can get to my dinner.
It wasn't to not do this. It was to just do it in the beginning.
Flow into
the show.
But see, then if we did that, then we wouldn't have the... We wouldn't know what we're talking about.
We wouldn't know we were going to fight about the title.
Title, so. Right. Exactly. So. The thriller in Manila.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Yeah, we have a slight little bit of Kryptonite Key Club. I have a quick question for John with his Star Wars knowledge, he answered it like that.
He's just not satisfied with my answer, though.
I am not satisfied with that. This show's got a ton of contesting. I don't know. What do you want to call it?
Contesting. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We had fun, as always. Yeah. And, you know, John... What would you rate this show? One, two, or three?
Three diving boards. I rate this show.
All right.
Two and a half diving boards.
Oh. All right. There's more to that story. All right. Yeah. Let's get into the store.
All right.
Hey, John, how are we doing this week?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Hey, that was a really good open we just did there, huh?
Yeah. It was slamming.
It's so. I listened to us back when I put this together, and it's so funny how we have our little open, and then I come in and say hi. But it's like, that's how it goes.
That's
our pattern, John. That's our pattern. We have to go with that. But it is kind of funny. We have no idea what our...
We could start by going with the open at the beginning, and then we could alleviate that whole thing.
What do you mean?
You know, like we could just start with the opening.
Give them a little tease on what's going on?
Well, I mean, we know what we're going to talk about ahead of time anyway.
Yeah, we do. Oh, you mean, yeah. Yeah, but there's sometimes little gems that come up.
Yeah, true.
They're mostly from you, but like you hold on to little nuggets and then you're like, you can't wait to give like when we get to spoilers or something. And then, so we need to, whatever. It's fun. It's fun. It's supposed to be funny. Cause you know, we're so professional here.
Well, yeah, we're nothing if not professional.
Oh, so how was your day? You know how my day's gone. We've had explosions.
Well, I mean, it could have been better. I didn't, since Diamond decided they didn't want to ship my comics on time this week.
Have them yet?
Yeah.
I did see that message.
My whole week is going to be thrown into a spin. So, yeah, could have been better when it comes to that. But other than that, it's been good.
Now, is that something to you or is that like nationwide type deal?
I don't know. In this case, I don't think it was widespread because it wasn't like an official email that came from Diamond saying that they were going to be delayed. They just didn't show up. Like they just weren't here when I got my delivery. So when I went back and checked the tracking to see what was going on with it, it showed that it was still awaiting pickup. So I got some of my order, but not the comics. You know, luckily I got my statues and things on time, you know, because that's
the
what
stuff
everybody's
that's not
waiting
timely.
For. Yeah.
Stuff that doesn't have a date on it.
All that stuff came in. You know, like my manga, my graphic novel, anything that I had ordered for that kind of stuff showed up, but my comics did not. So yeah, it's going to throw my Wednesday and possibly Thursday, you know, into a little bit of a...
So do you open early on Wednesdays or just regular time? And
no, I open at 11 every day. So.
Okay. So is there a chance they could be there in the morning and just makes your morning hell?
Well, I would hope they would be, in a perfect world, they'd be here right when I opened. But
right.
UPS hasn't been showing up lately until between 1 and 2 o'clock. Just, you know, really ever since COVID. You know, I used to get them pretty early all the time. But
right.
Hell, at some points he would text me and tell me, you know, ask me to meet him before the store opened even. But now, you know, I'll be lucky to get him in by 1 or 2 and hopefully get him on the shelf by 3 or 4. At best case.
Right.
So, yeah. So we'll see.
Yep. Hey, we all have issues.
Yeah.
Sounds like your day went like my day.
Yeah. I actually can't wait for Penguin to take over Marvel so that.
You think it'll be better?
Well, I hope so. Like, I have yet to have an issue with Lunar where things have not showed up on time. Like, for some reason, now, granted, they're not dealing with the volume necessarily that the Diamond has to deal with.
Right.
But yeah, like, I have my Lunar stuff 3 or 4 days early consistently every week. Like, I'll get next week's stuff tomorrow, probably. And they can somehow manage to get all their stuff out on time. So hopefully Random House will be the same. And then, you know, if Diamond doesn't show up, you know, okay, I'm out my Boom and my Image and things like that. But
yeah. Really,
if I have Marvel and DC, I'm fairly good to go. That's 80% of my shipment every week anyway. You know, so, I mean, I'll open tomorrow with DC. All that stuff will be on the shelf. But there won't be anything else. So.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. You ready to get to some? We only have a few this week for breaking.
Yeah, it's not.
Ready
to get well, to it's that? Only one. It's only 1 week's worth.
It's only
stuff,
1 week. So. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to it.
Yeah. So I don't remember if we talked about this last week or not, but there was a rumor that has now been confirmed. It looks like Amazon announced that they are purchasing MGM Studios.
Yep.
And so that it's going to add a lot of content to the Amazon library, most notably the James Bond franchise,
yeah,
and like the Rocky franchise. Both of those they're probably the two most well-known MGM properties. So yeah, that should be interesting. You know, it's just another in a long line of these, like all these studios are getting snapped up. Like all these streaming services are trying to, you know, bolster their libraries
right.
by locking down specific
content.
Studios.
Yeah.
Yeah. To the point where, like, you know, it used to be you could get almost all of this stuff on Netflix. Now you're almost forced to have every streaming service out there.
If right.
you want to get a hold of some of this content.
Well, it's funny. I heard somebody else talking about that this week, and it actually kind of struck me that is that any, and I was thinking of you, I was like, oh, this will be good to talk about. Is it any different than when we were kids and different movies went to HBO or Cinemax or the Movie Channel? Remember? And they each had that. So like if you, oh, I didn't get to see that because like, I remember right. Star Wars was on HBO. So right. we had HBO and that was a big deal. And it's like, I mean, that the opening for HBO was like iconic back then. Remember the HBO yeah. coming through space and then you went inside the O and it went. It's like that was all part of it. But if you wanted to see like, well, everybody knew like adult movies were on Cinemax late at night.
Right.
But you also knew like I don't remember any iconic movies on the Movie Channel, but I knew there were movies over there.
Yeah, but in that case, at least it was first run to a certain, like HBO would get Star Wars, like you mentioned, but after a while it would show up on Cinemax or Showtime or something else, you know, where in this case, like once Amazon owns MGM, it's doubtful you're going to see James Bond on Netflix ever again. You know what I mean?
Oh, right.
At any
yeah.
point in the future.
Yeah.
So it's, it, it's similar, but I think, it, you know, in this case, it kind of locks things down in perpetuity, you know, until Amazon sells MGM.
Yeah.
And even at that case, they would just belong to whoever bought it then, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, until Disney sweeps in and then just buys Amazon and Netflix and then, you know.
Yeah. I also understand that they don't own everything. It doesn't go back to, like, I think pre-70s they don't own, like, any of the classics from them. Weren't included in this deal because those were already bought by, I forget who I heard. It was, but those aren't included. So those are like actual MGM titles, but they're not included in this deal. So,
yeah. Well, but again, that's similar. That's no different than like Netflix still having Harry Potter, let's say, even
right.
though HBO Max exists, because pre-existing sales and licenses, you know, notwithstanding, but I don't know if like those older MGM things were, again, were they purchased outright forever or are they just being licensed for a certain time period and then eventually they'll slide back over to MGM.
Again. Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I honestly have no idea, but.
Now, does this make you, if you don't already have Amazon, do you think this makes you go get it?
No, no, yeah. This isn't as big as, like a, for instance, like a Warner Brothers or like a Disney buying Marvel or something like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like I like James Bond. Don't get me wrong, but like I'm not going to subscribe to Amazon just to get them. You know, just to get the James Bond movies or the Rocky movies. You know what I mean? It's a nice bonus if you already have it. But to me, yeah, this doesn't make me go out and subscribe to Amazon Prime. So.
So it kind of makes me wonder, like, well, unless they plan on, and this is the other thing, is like, what if they plan on expanding on those? Like, now that Amazon's going to own, do they own the next James Bond movie? Do they, like, not the one coming out this year, which they do own, I imagine.
Right.
Future, you know, projects. Is it, like, is it them? Can they make a James Bond franchise series?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't know. I don't know all the details, but yes, maybe they could make a Rocky series. Maybe they can make a James Bond series. Or
I think
something.
The movies are a series, aren't they?
Well, yeah, but maybe we're gonna do like, you know, Mickey the lost
the early years.
You know, the early years, and yeah. You know, maybe
where he raises
they have
chickens.
That. Like I thought, somewhere part of the deal, at least in regard to James Bond, is that I believe the Broccoli family still has the ultimate controlling rights for James Bond.
The who family?
And, the Broccoli family.
Broccoli, as in the vegetable?
Yeah, they've owned.
I've never
James
heard of
Bond
that.
For,
I didn't
yeah,
know
they've
that.
Owned James Bond forever. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Albert Broccoli and something or other, but I think they still have the final say on James Bond. But like when it comes to something like Rocky or some of their other things, who knows? Yeah,
right.
Like I don't know any other big MGM projects, but I mean I know they're out there. Like it's not just James Bond and Rocky, but yeah, if they're going to start making. Yeah, maybe they're going to make a series out of XYZ movie or do something else. I think MGM is like the Wizard of Oz, right? So maybe they're going to make like a Wizard of Oz series.
I think that's one of the ones they don't get.
Well, it's definitely pre-1970, so I don't know.
But. Just a bit.
But yeah, like it depends on what they can do with the properties now that they own. Like I believe if they own it, they own it. So they should be able to do whatever they want with
it.
I don't think
yeah.
it's just streaming rights. Like I think they get it lock, stock, and barrel. It's just like Disney Plus making, you know, The Mandalorian or whatever they're doing with Star Wars. You know, I mean, it's up to Amazon now to make a profit out of what they're doing. But but to me, just buying MGM doesn't get me to plunk down my $130 a year for Amazon Prime. So.
Yep. Yeah. That's how I felt too. I mean, I think it's great. I mean, I told you earlier, I just got another part of my collection, but I have a lot of the James Bond movies already. And then if I want one, like you, if these are action movies, these are great movies that if we want to see them, we want to see them in the best possible way. So.
Right.
But there is something to be said for flipping around the channels and you're like, oh, there's that one. I'll watch that.
There
you know,
is
so
for
that's
sure.
Pretty
but,
fun.
You know, but for the price of 1 year of Amazon Prime, like I can buy the 4K complete James Bond collection and watch them anytime I want, you know?
Right.
So I could do the same thing with the 4K Rocky collection. So,
right. All right. Moving on. What do we got up next?
Oh, another Game of Thrones spinoff, Princess Nymeria, who I guess this is another like.
Is this from the books or do I?
Well, it's much, I think it's just another in the past type of thing, like the Targaryen spinoff. Like,
yeah, okay.
This, I think Princess Nymeria was probably mentioned in the lore at some point through the books of the series. Like, I'm not familiar with the character or who it is, but. You know, it's some, I'm sure somebody that was, this is like a seafaring show, it looks like, so probably a descendant of like the Greyjoys or something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, probably a la the Targaryens, we're just going to go back to the early days, maybe of the Greyjoy family or something like that. And we're going to see the, like the seafaring battles or things like that. At least for, just from the photo that they put up, looks like she's on a ship. And I thought I read that somewhere in one of the stories that this is going to take place, you know, around there. So, but, you know, to me, it's just more, again, this is an example of HBO going outside of the novels and capitalizing on a franchise that has made them, you know, billions of dollars,
yeah.
You know, because none of this is things that have ever, none of these have been explored in any of the books to any great degree. So, and I think this is where they can, like they can really shine because, you know, once again, season 7.5, season 8 of Game of Thrones were not as universally accepted. But like with something like this, you just have to tell a good story because you can't disappoint anybody. There's nobody.
Right.
There's nothing for anybody to go off of. And as long as you don't mess up what you're already doing, then, you know, all you can do is, you know, make people happy, really. So
you'd
I think
hope.
This is, yeah. That, but,
John,
mean,
you know, that's not
internet,
all you
so,
can do. Yeah.
Yeah. You're definitely not going to make everybody happy. But, but like, I think this is where they can really shine with the Game of Thrones license because, you know, they can do whatever they want.
All right. And, I like this one.
Yeah, so we've had a lot of rumors around this the last couple of months. The Kraven the Hunter solo movie is in the works from Sony. It looks like we officially have our Kraven the Hunter. Aaron Taylor Johnson, who was briefly known as Quicksilver in the MCU.
Quicksilver.
it looks like he's cast as Kraven. So, once again, not the first person that comes to mind when I think of the character, but, you know, I think he could do a good job. So, definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah. And this is a non-Spider-Man, supposedly a non-Spider-Man event. Like he's not in it, similar a la Venom. And we're going to get some kind of probably backstory of him wherever he is in the world doing his thing.
I just once again wonder if these characters are
worthy,
strong enough on their own to be movie worthy. You know what I mean? It's go back to the Catwoman solo movie with Batman and no anything else.
But those are done poorly.
Well, you're right. But I don't know. Like, I guess the Joker movie is, I guess, the opposite of that because that did fairly well. But I don't know. Like, I want a Kraven the Hunter movie to be good. I just wonder that these characters who are supporting villains at the most can carry these movies by themselves. I hope the answer is yes, because
I put this in the Guardians of the Galaxy type folder, saying like when that was announced, we were like, who? What? Why are they part of, you know, and it's like,
but
they get
that,
a movie and they're one of the people's most favorite part of the franchise.
Right. But like, if it was just a Star-Lord movie,
true,
like, would it be as good? You know what I mean? Like, that movie works because you have all the characters, right? And, you know, you have play with, you know, Star-Lord and Drax and Groot and all this stuff. And you don't get that with Kraven. Like, who's he talking to? You know? So,
well, that's the thing about Kraven. It's like what I knew about, he wasn't really a villain. It's his history with Spider-Man was for sport.
Right.
And it's, you know, then it goes. So there is a lot to be explored there and how he got to be who he was. And maybe they develop him ahead of time. And then we get the Spider-Man movie.
Well, like, and
they
this is end all, this again,
with him going, who? That would be a challenge, you know.
This is supposed to all be working towards the Sinister Six and a crossover with Spider-Man at some point. So, you know, I get what they're doing. And like I said, I hope it's good. Like, to me, you know, as long as you have the big furry lion's head vest,
right,
I'm good to go, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I just want to see that goofy-looking green eyes lion vest.
Right.
So
I'm looking at it right here on my Marvel Tales one that I have hanging up. And that's one of my favorite books, but for various reasons. But it's funny, when we get to Speculator, I'm wondering if someday those things are going to stop popping up.
Oh, no doubt.
You know?
No doubt.
It's like,
if they haven't already, they definitely will.
Yeah. And but yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think a lot of Spider-Man fans are looking forward to it. It's the other people that
do you get the masses to come out and see it? That's always going to be the question.
Right. But I think at the end of the day, if it's a good movie, similar to what we were saying about like the Game of Thrones, you know, spinoff, if it's a good story and a well-executed movie, I think you're fine. You know?
Yeah. So. I hope so. Like I said, I hope so. I want more of this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely want more of this stuff. I don't know. I just wonder if these characters are...
At least going into this one, we don't have, like, with Joker, we were so afraid there was going to be a backstory. We were like, we don't want a backstory. With this one here, we're looking forward to it. I think it'd be fun to learn stuff and then... Let's see that play out in a movie and then have them come together later. I liked Venom. And even though Venom was done in completely different from the original story, pretty much, because once you take Spider-Man out of that.
Well, yeah, it was very different.
Very different. But this here has, it's very easy to leave Spider-Man out of this.
Well, at least in the beginning.
It's part of the story. That's,
I mean, he was a well-established character by the time Spider-Man jumps into the scene.
He jumps into the Spider-Man scene. Yeah,
So you can definitely do a backstory without Spider-Man here.
Right.
I just hope it's compelling enough that we care about it, you know?
Right. Right. So I will. Yeah. And then we'll judge after the fact whether it was compelling enough.
Right.
All right, let's move on to more Marvel news.
Yeah, so Marvel has finally confirmed what everybody else already knew. But we finally are officially...
Did Oscar?
We officially know that Oscar Isaac is going to play Moon Knight in the upcoming Disney Plus series. So, again, the worst kept secret in Hollywood. Right. But they have finally come out and said, yes, this is happening. So that's great. Like I said, I can't get too excited because we already knew.
Right.
But yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to this show. So can't wait. Can't wait to see more of that.
I mentioned last week about Sucker Punch, right? Did you see that movie?
Yes, I have seen it.
Okay. Oscar Isaac, was it? Do you remember him in that?
No, not at all. I saw it once, long time
ago. It was 2011. He's in that and he's like the bad guy, kind of. He's the owner of the club. Remember, they're at a club and he's the owner of the club. He owns, quote unquote, owns the girls. He's like the sleazy bad guy in that.
Oh, yeah.
Portrays that. Yeah. And he's pretty good in it, too. And obviously a lot younger than his Star Wars days. He got a short haircut and stuff. But yeah, that Oscar Isaac was in that.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. I'm really looking forward to that Moon Knight movie because I wasn't a huge Moon Knight guy growing up. Knew of him, but that's about it. So really looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be good. It depends on what version. You know, there's multiple versions of or ways they can go with the character. So kind of depends on what they do. But I mean, the character has a pretty good history, so it should be good.
Yeah.
All yeah, right. And then a little more bit more Marvel? Disney Plus news. Yeah, more Marvel, Disney Plus news. This week, I don't think we knew for sure, but we've known for a while that we were going to have like a Wakanda Black Panther spinoff show on Disney Plus. But it looks like they've confirmed Danai Gurira, who played Okoye, is definitely going to play some part in this show. Yep. So, I mean, I think that's not super surprising, but it's not something we knew already. You know, it could have focused on just the characters that we saw in Falcon Winter Soldier, and it still would have been good. But yeah, it should be great. Okoye is a good character.
I thought we had that in last week's show, too, though. I thought, or maybe it was just that Okoye was going to be back, but we didn't know who was going to play it. Is that what it was?
I don't know. This is the first I've heard of it or spoken of it. So you might have been talking with somebody else about that, but it wasn't on the show as far as I know.
Okay. Sounds good. All right.
And then last thing I have, an actor named Jeremy Irvine, who I'm not familiar with at all, has been cast as Alan Scott for the HBO Max Green Lantern series. So, cool. Like I said, I don't know the actor at all, but
I think we do. I knew him when I was looking.
Well, you might. I don't recognize.
I'm looking him up right now on the old IMDb here. Let me see. I recognize, like, when I was looking for him. Oh, boy. Let's see. Jeremy Irvine. Yeah, when I was looking him up for the photo, I was like, some of the pictures, I was like, oh, I know him.
Look familiar. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's possible I've seen him in something, but I just don't know the name and didn't really recognize him. But yeah, I'm just looking forward to the show. Can't wait to see what they do with it.
Huh. Yeah. Not of the first four, Mamma Mia, Warhorse, Treadstone. Yeah,
I watched Treadstone actually. So I'll have to go back and look at him again. But I definitely watched Treadstone. So
trying to find something that I would have known him from. Yeah, I don't see it, but I recognize
Treadstone
his face.
Was actually pretty good.
Oh yeah,
yeah, it's a pretty good show. It's based on the Jason Bourne.
Jason Bourne, franchise.
Yeah, because Treadstone was the organization.
Yeah. He definitely looks familiar, though. So I probably just seen the ads and stuff. But
yeah.
All right. I have a couple here. I have Sony's shared Marvel Universe plan will kick off with Spider-Man No Way Home, blah, blah, blah. Sony reveals that Spider-Man No Way Home may kick off Sony's shared Marvel Universe, unraveling years of tension to make an MCU crossover possible. Have you seen this?
Did you see that news
and like how this is supposed to be like, like everything's coming together. Like,
well, yeah, when that's
whole
kind of what
idea.
I was alluding to with the Sinister Six,
right?
And Spider-Man finally coming into that story. So,
yeah, and
now the thing is, are they bringing all of that stuff into the MCU, or are they just bringing Spider-Man into the Sonyverse?
The thing. You and I had mentioned this a long time ago when we first, when I think it was when Venom was out or whatever, and all we would need is to get like one character to show up in another movie, and then that just webs them all together.
Right.
Pun intended, because I think that was actually in the article too.
Right.
But you know what I mean? So it's one of those things that you're like, now to go on a kind of a tangent here, I've only seen the first episode of Lucifer that since it came back on.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that a little bit later. But in the opening episode, obviously, God, the Father, comes down.
Safe driver, save 40%.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And he was also on the unit, which is, that's where Jen and I know.
Dennis Haysbert.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, he's a great
He's perfect. He's a perfect God, too.
Yeah.
But anyways, so what.
He's not George Burns, but. You know,
no, but Morgan Freeman, Morgan Freeman was an awesome God too.
He was
hysterical. I think actually Dennis Haysbert's kind of like in the middle of the two. He's right. calm, like George Burns was. And yet Morgan Freeman was a little bit more chatty and funny. Right. But anyways, the character of God has now been introduced into the DC universe. Right. How cool would it be? Because, and we also know that because of the Infinite Universe event or whatever, crossover on CW, Lucifer was in that, which has right. Superman and Wonder Woman. What Marvel character would you like to see meet God? Not Marvel, sorry, DC character. Right. Have a conversation with God.
Dr. Like, Manhattan.
I was thinking of like superheroes because I'd like to see like Batman having a conversation with God face to face.
What's the Joker's real name?
Yeah. Just be like, what are you doing? You know, like it just, you know what I mean? Like that's crazy to me because God is now a character in the DC. It just, right. I don't know if that's ever happened before. Has it?
I don't think so.
All the others are like,
that I know of.
Like Daredevil is very religious, but it's part of the religion. Like he never met God.
Right.
You know, but here we have, I mean, he comes down, literally opening of the episode, there he is just walking through. Actually, I think that's how they ended the last episode, isn't it?
Yeah, they ended the first half of the season with him.
With him? So, I couldn't remember if it was just the bright light or just whatever. But
no, we definitely saw him because I made my safe driver save 40% joke.
Oh, okay.
Way back then, too.
Kept it on file.
Well, I mean, that's what I think of when I think of him
right.
now.
No, yeah. You know? He was also the president on 24.
Yeah. Too. Oh, yeah. He's been in a lot of things. But
you remember him from.
But that's what I remember him from is the commercial, the Liberty Mutual commercials.
That's fantastic. So, but I just thought that was like along this lines with the shared universe on, you know, Sony's shared universe with the MCU. All you need to do is get one character to show up and then they're all linked. Then it just becomes a part of like, do they really want to make a crap load of money and allow the other side, meaning Sony and Marvel, that okay, we're gonna let you have this character for a few scenes so that you'll make more money and then we'll make more money because this is all shit because everybody loves a shared universe. And all of that chat, what was it, a year and a half ago about Marvel and Sony and their bickering and Spider-Man is dead and he'll never be back in the MCU and this and that and all for naught. Now look at them. They're all they're building their own sandbox here. They're not playing in the same sand. They're building their own now. And
well, like I said, I just wonder how far it goes. Like, is Venom actually going to show up in an MCU studios production? You know what I mean? Like, I'm wondering how. Because, you know, the Venom movie was fine. Don't get me wrong. Like, I don't think it was fantastic, but it was fun and it was fine. But it wasn't up to the quality of an MCU movie. You know what I mean? And like Marvel has a standard that they want to hold to. So like, I don't know how far the crossover is going to go.
Now, is that a perception thing or is that
my perception? I mean, it's my complete opinion. That's it.
No. I know. But, and I'm saying like, but what if that exact same movie was put out by Marvel? You would say that that's not up to Marvel's snuff. Like
I don't think it would because I think it would have been done a little better. Like the CGI could have been better, things could have been better. Like it didn't feel like it was an MCU production, you know. To me,
okay.
Again, purely my opinion of it. But
it
wasn't a $250 million budget movie. You know what I mean? Like it just wasn't. Marvel would have put more money into it. You know, and I think it just would have been a better quality film. But that being said, again, that's just my opinion. A lot of people love it, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But, you know.
All right. Let's see. What's the next one I have? I forget. Oh, we chatted about this a minute before we got on. Breaking news. I saw this just before we got on and threw the graphic in. The new, very creative name for the Warner Brothers Discovery merger.
Yeah.
What's the name, John?
Oh, you want me to break it out for you?
You break it out.
It's Warner Brothers .discovery. Because you have to have the period at the end of Bros.
Right.
So
Warner Bros.
It's Warner Bros. Discovery.
Discovery. How super creative. Original.
Yeah. Like, nobody can confuse what's going on there.
But they do have a tagline. The stuff that dreams are made of.
Yes.
And in the article that I read, that said it came from the Maltese Falcon. That's line from the Maltese Falcon. So, which I'm guessing is a Warner Brothers.
I would imagine so.
Probably MGM.
I know it's Humphrey Bogart. I know that. That's it. That's all right. I know about that. So,
but that's, I mean, it's funny. We were joking before we got on. We're like,
well, like I
it's
said,
not very creative, but it doesn't have, like, that's the name of the company. It doesn't have to be creative. You know, it's
right,
like,
but like I said, I joked earlier, that would be like Coke buying Pepsi and calling it Coke Pepsi.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just.
Well, and then I said, I'd be
classic. Yeah.
Doing a home theater podcast and calling it the Bright Side Home Theater.
Right. Like,
woo. Stepping out there. But yeah. I mean, what, like, look at AT&T. We just take that for granted. We're like, AT&T, what's that? American. I have no idea.
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure it stands for something, but
I would hope so. But you know what I mean? Just because it's new and we're used to it, it's not the label of a streaming service. It's just the name of the company. You know, it's kind of boring. But the logo is beautiful. It's kind of got that the way the graphic I have up. It has. It's almost like it's out of the Superman movie.
Yeah.
The original Superman where the letters are coming at you all from the middle, you know. It's like an old perspective project that we had to do.
Right.
So that was fun. Breaking news. Warner Brothers .discovery.
Yeah.
Surprised they didn't put Warner a slash Bros. In. No slash or and. Warner Brothers and nope. Discovery? Or?
It's just Bros. Dot Discovery.
Warner Bros. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. WB Discovery. Yeah, why didn't they WB Discovery?
WB Discovery would have been better, right?
too close to WB Mason?
Maybe. Yeah, but that's only people up there would even know that.
Oh, you guys don't know that?
No.
Oh, really?
Texas thing, yeah.
Oh, see? Dang, that could have been worldwide.
I only know it because it's plastered all over the Green Monster. So.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
All right, that's it for breaking news, and we ended on a blockbuster right there, let me tell you.
Yeah.
All right, you ready to get to some comics this week?
Sure.
You hesitated. Like,
I was going to tag something else onto the end of the Warner Bros. thing.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm wondering what happened to the Warner sister Dot. Like, is she not part of the streaming platform?
Maybe they didn't have any sisters. Yeah. You know, if you don't have any Dot. Daughters, huh?
They have Dot. They have Wacko, Yakko, and Dot. The Warner Brothers and the Warner sister, too.
Oh, jeez. All right, let's get to comics.
Everybody else besides you got that reference, DJ.
I don't get it. I'm like, Dot?
The Animaniacs, man.
Oh, see, I didn't watch Animaniacs.
Oh, come on.
At all. Nope, didn't. Well, those were the 90s, weren't they?
Yeah, and then they just brought it back out again, like last year.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't watch it in the 90s, and why would I watch it if I didn't watch it in the first place?
I don't know, because it's great.
I don't know that if I haven't watched it. I've heard rumors.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyways.
All right. More jokes flying over my head.
Yeah, that was just dead. All
fell flat on me. So, everybody's yelling at me now. So
I know.
I'm used to it. Here we go. John? What am I going to spend my money on this week?
Basilisk issue number 1 from Boom Comics came out. There's a few incentives on this that are doing pretty well. Looks like the 1 in 25 variant is selling for about $30. The 1 in 50 is selling at around $70. And there's an unlockable one per store variant that's selling at about $40. So seems to be some interest with this series. Hopefully that'll translate to the main covers as well.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You got a few?
Yeah, got a few. Well, I will have a few at right. some point when they my show up. Shows up. Yeah, don't have any right now, but yeah, this is a returnable title, so I ordered a few of them for the store. Cool. So yeah. All right, Batman 109, the 1 in 25 Federighi variant. Features Harley Quinn. He's done most of the variants for Batman the last couple of months. This one's selling just a little bit over ratio at around $30.
So, that's the black and white sketch.
Yeah, I could see that one going up a little higher too. You know, Harley's it's a good cover. You know, and Harley's
yeah, it is a nice cover. Yeah,
popular. So,
yep,
that could be a good pickup at $25 or $30 if you can. Batman Fortnite number 4. This should be the week where stores finally are able to meet demand on this title. Like, this is the first issue where I have more than 4 copies going on the shelf. You know, we were able to, you know, order them.
Did you call that woman? Come on in. I got plenty.
Yeah. FOC for number 4 was after, you know, the hype broke out on this. But even with that said, they're still selling for about $10 right now for both of the main covers on this. So, you know, still probably, you know, most stores will limit you to 1 copy on this, but yeah, you shouldn't have as much trouble finding these out there as you did with the first 3 issues.
They have a crap load of them at Newbury. So
yeah, that's what I'm saying. This, again, this is the week where we were finally able to get caught up. So, okay. Batman, the Adventure Continues. Part 2, or Season 2, I think they're calling it, number 1. There's a 1 in 25 variant. Not a ton of sales on eBay yet, but this is done by Amanda Connor, and there was a sale on eBay for just over $40. So that is, like, at least for now, the going rate on that one.
That's a pretty cool cover, too.
Yeah.
Very stylized, but yeah. I'm not crazy about his legs.
Yeah. Amanda Connor's a pretty popular artist, and she does some good work. So, but yeah, she's got definitely a style. So,
have you seen it?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I haven't seen it.
When you see it, you'll know what I'm talking about. But his right leg, which is the back leg in the picture, it looks like she let somebody else draw it.
Oh, really?
You'll know what I mean when you see it. You're like, it's kind of out of sync with the rest
of it. Out of place.
But the art on the rest, I really like. Very stylized, very almost like screen printed type style. Okay. But it's nice.
Yeah, I'll have to look. I didn't order it. I didn't order 25 copies of this book, but I'm sure I'll see it when we do the YouTube show. Yeah. Okay. Black Cat number 7. There's a 1 in 50 Jimenez variant cover for this, and you know, there are probably not a ton of these 1 in 50s out there for this title. Looks like one sold the other day for $75, and all the other listings on eBay are around that price. So that's probably the going rate for that.
It's basically the full cover, wraparound cover. It is. That's the pictures that showed up. It's a full wraparound.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Once again, I haven't seen it. I don't have it. Even if I was getting them, I don't have my books. So.
Right, exactly.
I wouldn't know anyways. Okay, DC Horror Presents The Conjuring The Lover, issue number 1. The 1 in 25 variant here is selling just over ratio at $30. So I'd probably stick right around there or maybe even come down a little bit. So. Okay, ENIAC, issue number 4. This is the Bad Idea publishing book. So, you know, once again, most of your stores aren't even involved in this program. And yeah, this is pre-selling already for about $35. Yep. So, it's just a bad idea.
It's a bad idea. Friendly Neighborhood was in on that.
Were they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have any interest in it. We've got another one that we're going to come down to here in a minute. But.
Yep.
Okay, Iron Man Annual number 1. There's a 1 in 25 variant here. There was one sale at $40, but that is probably an outlier because there's a bunch of listings on eBay today in the $15 range. So that's actually significantly below ratio, so don't go crazy on this one. You know, you should be able to get one for $15, $20. Tops.
Okie dokie.
Okay, Marvel Action Captain Marvel number 3. There's a 1 in 10 variant here that's selling steadily for about $15. Nice House on the Lake, issue number 1. This is selling a lot of copies of even just the main cover. A lot of them in around the $6 range, so a couple dollars over cover price. And the 1 in 25 variant is selling for around $30. This thing could be a hit. You know, this is James Tynan.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen Something is Killing the Children. We know what happens, you know, with some of his other books. For instance, I went pretty heavy on this book, and I only had like 2 pre-orders for it. So I've got a lot of shelf copies, and this I think could be a
sleeper. There were a few covers.
Yeah,
this cover here,
yeah, and
the 1 in 25, it's not my favorite of the group.
Right.
I have the cover for later when we get to checkout and we talk about it. For next week, we're going to be talking about
it. I'm not talking about it until next week.
No, but that's what I mean. But I have an image for that, and I like that cover a lot more. It's the woman swimming, I think she is, something like that. I love that cover. It's real. It looks like a photograph, isn't it? Something like that, but we'll talk about it then.
Yeah.
Looks interesting.
Okay. Yeah, it definitely does. I really can't wait to read that one.
Yeah.
I actually was going to read it today, but since we're going to talk about it next week, I'm going to hold off
and
wait until like Monday to read it because I don't want to.
I'm learning, John. I'm learning.
Yeah, I don't want to read it and then forget about it.
So. Exactly.
All right. And then Star Wars Bounty Hunters number 1. Star Wars War of the Bounty Hunters.
Yep.
Yeah. So there's lots of covers, lots of variants, exclusives, tons of covers for this. The one that seems to be doing the most right now is the 1 in 25 U variant, selling for about $40 and trending upwards. Again, this should be a huge series, should have appeal outside even the regular Star Wars title readers. I went pretty heavy on this. I think it's going to do pretty well. So if the alpha issue is any indication, it should have a lot of interest.
Okay, so that's what we read earlier. We read the alpha.
Yes,
this
alpha.
Is number, because I'm like, I saw this was number 1. I'm like, we already read something, didn't we? I thought we read.
Right, we read basically the prelude.
Alpha, right.
Yeah, it was the prelude. Because Marvel likes to be confusing. Like, I don't know why that couldn't have been number 1 in this number
2.
Hey,
John, but, if it was clearly laid out, we'd have nothing to talk about, right?
Exactly.
Come on. They're doing our job for us. Laying out conversation.
But Marvel loves to have these like weird numbering scenarios going on, like the point ones on Spider-Man. You know, it's like 761.1. It's like, well, why couldn't it just be 762? And the next one, 763. You know, like you can go weekly and not change your numbering system.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's Marvel. So. Like you said, we wouldn't have anything to talk about if it made sense.
Yep.
And then last but not least, more bad ideas. This is Tankers issue number 2. And this one's pre-selling for about $25. So the question I have about these things is who's pre-selling them? Even going back to ENIAC number 4, it says it's pre-selling for $35. Tankers is pre-selling for $25. The retailers that are part of this program are prohibited from selling this at higher than cover price. And they're also prohibited from selling it to anybody in more than one copy, basically. So, like, I don't know who's out there pre-selling these.
Really?
For $35 and $25.
So you can't sell me 2 copies?
Cannot, no.
So I'd have to buy 1 from you and 1 from another store, then
mark up 1.
1
from another store. Exactly. And that's part of the
done,
bad idea.
Right.
Well, it can be done, right. But you would have to guarantee, if I'm an eBay seller, I would have to guarantee the 5 or 6 stores that I was going to hit were going to have a copy for me so I could pre-sell them. But the people that are pre-selling these don't even have them in hand yet. It's people that are planning on buying them tomorrow and then selling them for that price.
Right.
It's not the retailers that are selling these. So. So buyer beware if you're on eBay, you know, and somebody's selling, you know, listing that they have 50 of these available, they're probably not going to fill a lot of those orders.
Right.
So
anyway. All right.
That is it for Speculator.
All right. Are you ready to get to some back issue bonus?
I am. All right.
You're thinking of that line again, aren't you?
I am. Yeah. So
could tell first by book the chuckle.
It's like I'm still not used to that sounder. That's why. But every time I hear it, it brings a smile to my face. It's like a Pavlovian response. I just can't help it.
As long as it's just a smile.
Yeah. I'll be making that noise myself later, but right now it's just a smile. So anyways, Ghost Rider number 28. This is from the 1992 series, and this is the first appearance of Lilith and the Midnight Suns. This came polybagged originally. So polybagged copies for this are selling for between $20 and $40. And there's like a newsstand, a rarer newsstand copy that I believe was not polybagged. And that's selling for between $60 and $90. Ghost Rider is super hot right now, but I'm not quite sure why, because as far as I know, there's no Ghost Rider announcements coming. But for whatever reason, it is. X-Men 53. This is from the 1996 series. This is the first appearance of Onslaught. It is selling for around $25.
Nice.
Next, we have Infamous Iron Man, issue number one. This is the first appearance of the AI, Tony Stark. So I guess the rumors now is that Tony is going to reappear back in the MCU at some point. Potentially as an AI, maybe in the Riri Williams series or the War Machine series. Whether that turns out to be true or not, this issue is now between $30 and $40 for the main cover. There's a 1 in 10 Mike Diodato variant cover that's selling for $50. And then a copy of the trade paperback for some reason sold for $70 on eBay. Oh, wow. So that's unusual that the trade paperback would sell for that much. But you know, again, this is pure speculation. But
so here's the question, though.
Yeah.
Does this book go up? I think the speculation, it isn't whether Tony Stark is back in the MCU. It's whether Robert Downey Jr. is back in the MCU. Because if they bring somebody else in to play Tony Stark, do the value of these books go up?
I think the books probably stay
where they
are, the levels they're at now. If it ends up being Robert Downey Jr., AI, Tony Stark back, then this book could maybe double again. Who knows?
Right. So it's not really, this isn't about Tony Stark. This is about, do we get Robert Downey Jr. or do we get a, because it's AI, do we get a voice actor? Do we get, like, if he's going to take over for, like, quote, Jarvis, and go that route, which, you know, do voice work. I don't know. I know he commanded a lot of money in all the films he was in. So,
right.
Do they, can and they afford,
command, like, he won't command that kind of, well, he won't command that kind of money just for voiceover work, but he'll still be expensive.
That's what I mean. Well, he commanded it and then he got it. Yeah. So it's, that's the thing is, or do they just say, you know, we could get somebody that sounds just like him and it's going to be synthesized anyways as a computer. So why don't we do that? I don't know, but
I don't think he gets Robert Downey Jr. money just to be an AI, you know? So
I know. Didn't he get the most money in like Civil War? And he was,
Oh, he was the highest paid.
Yeah. He's the highest paid and it wasn't even his movie. So it's scary. Good for him, though. I'm not knocking him at all. At all.
No.
I'm just
me either. Like, if you can get it, get it.
Oh God, you know? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But just it's going to be interesting to see. Hopefully, obviously, it does mean it's him coming back.
Right.
And where it's an AI, it does make it easier for him too. So, I'll show him how to set up a studio in his home.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, all right. Moving along here.
All right. Black Panther number 22 from 1998. This is the first appearance of Killmonger as the Black Panther. This is selling for $25 and trending upwards. Again, more MCU fueled speculation here.
It's also got Moon Knight on the cover.
Does it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's Moon Knight must invade the realm of nightmare.
Oh, cool.
From the life of the Panther, for the life of the Panther. It's Black Panther, for the life of the Panther. So pretty cool. Yeah.
Well, yeah, hell, it'll go up just because of Moon Knight being on the cover, that's, too, because yeah, Moon Knight's hot right now.
Exactly. Well, so that's a double shot right
there. It's a double dip, yeah.
Yeah. Look at that. Look
I know at it.
That. All right.
Okay, Captain America number 16 from 2006. This is the first appearance of a character called Sin, who is rumored to possibly be showing up in Captain America 4. So that rumor alone makes this a $40 to $60 book. Rumor was started by somebody that owns a lot of copies of Captain America number 16.
Was it you?
That's all I can guess.
Arkham Comics and Games has got 10 of them for sale.
I'm going to start the rumor that whoever is in Nice House on the Lake is going to be in Captain America 4.
Right.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Marvel Comics Presents number 117. This is the first meeting between Venom and Wolverine. Apparently that is the selling point for this book. But yeah, it's selling for between $40 and $50 and probably still has some room to grow. So
cool.
Yep. And then last but not least, this is a book from just last week, Bitter Root number 13. This has a B cover that's now selling for about $25. So Bitter Root, it was announced as being in development from Regina King.
Yep.
All
righty. Excellent. And that'll do it for back issue. Only a few back issue bonus this week, huh?
Yeah, it wasn't as many as, again, last week we had a bunch of everything. So.
Yeah, yeah. All right. You ready to get
to it? Not a lot of FOC, honestly, either. But
no, but let's get to it.
All right. First book is from Dark Horse Comics. It's called Parasomnia. It's issue number 1, and it has 2 covers. From DC Comics, we have a variant cover for the Flash Annual 2021, and it is by Brett Booth.
Sideways cover.
And then these are all listed as new series, and technically none of them are. They're basically all the annuals for 2021.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just group them all together. We have Action Comics, Catwoman, Flash, and Teen Titans Academy, and they all have 2 covers available.
Okay.
What's interesting is that these are called and they're called Annual 2021, which is not how they usually do it. They're usually numbered.
Right.
Action Comics Annual number 1, number 2, etc. But I thought it was interesting that they did these basically with the year, which is kind of cool. And the Teen Titans Academy, since it's a school, they actually don't call it the annual; they call it the yearbook. Which is, you know, super clever. So that is it from DC. From Marvel, there was almost nothing from Marvel. There was no variant covers and only 1 new series. I mean, they had stuff on FOC, but it was all just like Daredevil, whatever, yeah. And all new stuff. But as far as new series, they have the United States of Captain America. This is a number 1 of 5 issue miniseries. And there are multiple cover options.
The one that I pulled up for that is beautiful.
It's the double,
the wraparound cover.
Yeah, the wraparound cover,
and it's actually covering half of each of us right now.
Yeah,
on the YouTube.
Yeah, it was a really cool cover.
It's a really nice cover with all the Captain Americas, and it's a beautiful cover.
Yeah, really good.
Yep.
That was it from Marvel. From Boom, we have Power Rangers Unlimited, The Edge of Darkness, issue number 1, and this has multiple cover options.
Mm-hmm.
From Vault Comics, we have Barbaric, issue number 1, with multiple covers. And from Dynamite, I don't usually look at the Dynamites too much because there's so many of them, but this one caught my eye. Actually, I think it's my favorite cover for this week. Vampirella, number 20. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Vampirella issue 21 has a Shannon Mayer variant cover that I really liked a lot. So
yeah, I'm pretty sure I got the right cover on that because it's got her signature Shannon at the bottom. So
yeah, it's got to be.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, you did these. That's right.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I put them up on. These.
Yeah, so I grabbed them from you. So I know I have the right cover. You
have
it.
The right one. Yes.
These are the ones you actually do yourself.
That's cool.
Yeah, this is a nice cover.
Yeah. That is it for FOC. So,
Alrighty. Pretty quick. All right. You ready to get to check out?
Sure.
A couple books this week.
Yeah.
And I read both of these. Now that we know ahead of time, I just end up reading the ones you said. And then
you read
we'll
the
talk
same
about,
ones I read?
Yep, I read those. Go. And well, I don't even know. I didn't get a chance to even look. I went to the store. I bought a bunch of books. I read other stuff. But, yeah, I didn't get a chance to shop.
I read other stuff as well, too.
Yeah.
But.
So let's get through these, and then we'll chat.
Okay. So, yeah, the first book that we read was Made in Korea, issue number one. This is a six-issue miniseries from Image Comics. It was written by Jeremy Holt and had art by George Shaw. I'm going to go through the quick start guide for your proxy.
I know, huh?
In describing this book.
Insane.
So it has three steps. Step one, remove box. Step two, power on. Step three, raise your child. So, yeah, this was there was actually kind of two concurrent stories happening here. There was the story with the programmer who I believe was in Korea. And I think this was him developing this technology, although they didn't come out and say that necessarily up front. But, you know, there's a story of this programmer who's solved some kind of problem, some algorithm or something that working on. I missed something.
Okay, so I think what he did... this is a week old. That's what's nice. We can talk a little bit of spoilers here, but what he did is he was the programmer, and he sent, like, remember he had the idea and he's like, I got a great idea. Then he went to the bar and told the guys, and they're like, I hope you didn't do it on the work computer because they own it.
Right.
So he was like, oh crap. So what I think he did is he went back, took what he had, and he put it into her.
Oh, I didn't, get, her, see, I didn't
yeah.
see that.
And I think, so she's going to be special. Like, if you look at the cover, she's the one standing out.
Right.
She's got something special. We don't know what it is yet.
Yeah.
And that's, so I think he shipped off whatever he could do. He shipped it off knowing in her. And then he told everybody, oh, I wiped it out. So that's how I'm reading the story going.
That could be. Yeah. I got that aspect where he went and wiped it off his work computer.
Right.
But then, you know, then we meet the family who's in America that basically buys this child. And yeah, she was on sale at deep discount or something because normally they wouldn't be able to afford her. And yeah, that makes sense. I didn't put two and two together there, but you're right. Because she acted differently. Like,
it was so weird.
She didn't respond out of the box like the proxy should have. And yes, maybe she's been corrupted with the information that he's trying to hide. But yeah, this was just a weird book. Yeah, I don't know.
I loved it.
Where it's going to go. Yeah, I mean, I liked it too. You know, Jesse, who is the AI that I guess is a little different.
Yeah, well, we don't know what she has yet. But yeah, it's just, I loved the meeting when they first met the other family that was really rich and they have
their proxy,
but you're going into the room and you're thinking like they're going to have a newborn and there's this this kid sitting on the mother's lap.
Right. It was almost like a ventriloquist doll, you know, just sitting there and made me think of that. So
that was wicked funny. But it's like, I mean, I love the idea of this story, and it's like, it was kind of bothersome too. Like, that's not how you're supposed to have kids. But there's another story going along. Like, nobody can have them.
Well, that's it. Yeah, it says biological parenthood is no longer a reality.
Right.
So again, what happened there? You know, was there a disease? Did something? You know, is it like the Handmaid's Tale where all the women went
Aeon Flux,
infertile or whatever?
That was Aeon Flux too.
Aeon Flux as well, right? So we don't know, and you know, obviously there's more to come with the story. But yeah, I thought it was definitely interesting, but it was strange, you know, it's very, you know, very sci-fi and very
Yeah. Very Morgan. Very.
Yeah.
Like very. Yeah. I mean, it's like you name it. It's I really liked it. I really liked it because there's so many questions at the end that it really makes you want to grab it. The next one. Like I'm really
looking forward
to it. The
programmer from the beginning is getting called into the boss's office at the end, and you know. Yeah. You kind of want to see what's going on there because they figured out what he's done and, you know, want that information back. So, I can imagine there's going to be some kind of chase on for this, for Jesse.
Yeah. I'm ready to call it now. I don't know about you. Maybe we'll save it for after. That's my vote, but we'll save it for after Blue Flame.
Oh, for the name of the show?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I like Blue Flame a little more. But
oh, you did? Oh, we're going to have to battle it out then.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to it.
So, yeah, the next book we read was Blue Flame number one. This was from Vault Comics. It was written by Christopher Cantwell. It had art by Adam Gorham and Kurt Michael Russell. What I kind of liked about this, like this started out, you know, obviously this book takes place, well, I say obviously, if you haven't read it, you don't know, but this book takes place basically in present day. Like it's not a time shifted story in any way, but like the beginning of the book was set up. It had a very like 50s comic book feel to it. Like the very first page where you get like the description of the character and how he got his power, like who he is, like the little origin blurb that you get at the beginning felt very like 50s or 60s to me. There was all kinds of like fire flame jokes in there. And
yeah.
Like,
I mean, even like some of the writing on the first page was like,
right.
You were like, oh, this is like the Blue Flame unit. I'm looking at it right now. Yeah. And it's like, it had that feel. I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. And even like the group itself, like the, he's part of a superhero team. And again, you know, it's obviously present day. You know, there's cell phones. There's nothing like strange about it. But
right.
Like their names and their character designs and all that stuff felt really like 1950s. Watchmen. And not even like a Marvel or a DC, but
no.
Kind of like a Charlton Comics or something. Like kind of like the knockoff superhero brand.
Well, that's why I said Watchmen. It reminded me a little bit of Watchmen. And then as the book went on, I had a Galaxy Quest vibe. Like they were all together for that show, that like whatever.
Right.
And it's like, so I had that kind of vibe going on. Like, and like you said, like I felt like Watchmen, like it was just, you know, second tier of superheroes.
Right.
You know?
So yeah, it definitely had that feel to me, which, you know, it kind of appealed to me. But then once you get into the story, you know, again, is like a dual story going on. It starts out where he's in the present and then you're kind of getting some backstory that leads up to how he got to where he was. But the thing I thought was weird, like, again, reading like his origin or like his little description of his powers, it didn't seem like somebody that should be like flying around alone in deep space. You know, it's like,
yeah.
Not quite sure how he got out there and what he was doing there, but yeah, at the end of the day, he finds himself on a planet and, you know, kind of like we've seen in other stories before, he's basically being put on trial for humanity. You know, he's the one that was chosen by them to answer for humanity's crimes, I guess.
Right.
We don't know what those crimes are or anything like that. That's all stuff that's to come. But I don't know. I just thought it was a lot of fun. I thought the art was good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I enjoyed it. So
no, I agree with everything you're saying. I thought it was fun. I thought the art was good. I thought the art, like you said, it actually added to the story. The one thing, the difference for me between this and Made in Korea number one is that Made in Korea, I felt like struck more nerves and made me. I'm anticipating number two of Made in Korea more than I'm anticipating Blue Flame. Not that I don't want to read Blue Flame number two, you know what I mean? But it's like,
right.
I just feel like I'm like, oh my God, there's so many questions here. And there are questions to the end of Blue Flame as well. That they kind of ended on a cliffhanger, but it's just not this. It just, there's, I thought Made in Korea was a little bit more original. kind of a story, like, you know?
You know, Blue Flame, it didn't break any new ground, that's for sure. Like, no. It was just a typical superhero story, you know. It wasn't doing anything, well, you know, super sci-fi like Made in Korea. But
Well, Made in Korea is, I mean, you've got corporate espionage, you have, you know, AI. So, I mean, all of that stuff has been done. I just thought it was an interesting way.
Like I said, it wasn't necessarily breaking super new ground either. But,
none of them are.
But it was interesting. Yeah. So
I don't know. What do you, I'm from Made in Korea.
That's fine. I liked them both. So yeah. I'm not going to throw down with you on it. I didn't like Blue Flame that much that I'm not going to go to the mat for it. You know what I mean? It was fine, but like, I mean, I'll save that battle for something I care a lot more about.
Save that plane ticket when you got to kick my ass.
Yeah. Save that fight for later.
I'll be right back. Uh-oh, he's getting on a flight. Blue Flame has the more colorful, vibrant cover, though. I'll give it that.
Oh, for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But, all right. All right. What else did you read?
I read a lot of other books, but the one I read that I kind of wanted to talk about is it wasn't even a new book necessarily, but it kind of ties into my coming next week plug. I was listening to Dr. Joe on TLDR.
Yep.
From 2 weeks ago, and he sold me on Resistance from AWA. That was one of the first round of AWA books that I never actually read. I didn't read Resistance. And so listening to him talk about it, number one, I had no idea that Erratic spun out of the Resistance. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's also supposed to be a shared universe, too.
Right. But some of the things that they talked about in Erratic, like the Big Death and all of that stuff, makes a little bit more sense now because I've read The Resistance.
Yeah.
So I basically devoured all of that. I read the first 6-issue miniseries. Then I read the one-shot that came out. And then I am now caught up on the 2 issues of the new series.
I think I'm one behind on the new series, but yeah.
I really, really enjoyed it. I had heard it was good, but I really had no intention of going back to it. Like once I missed it, I really wasn't going to go back and read it. But I wanted to read Moths, which I didn't even know also spun out of this book. So
yeah.
I would have read that next week and also been probably a little bit confused about what the Moths were. But now that I've read The Resistance, I'm even more looking forward to Moths coming next week. Now, if I read Moths and really liked it, that might have prompted me to go back and read The Resistance if I knew that that's where it came from. But what I thought was really great is that, like, the original Resistance series came out before issue one came out before COVID. Yeah, but
that
was even
in March
COVID.
Of last
like,
year.
That was a long time ago. Moths, number one, is just coming out next week. So let's say 15 months later. But as I was reading The Resistance, there was things that were happening, and it was saying, catch this story in Moths, number 3, which wasn't even going to come out for like a year and a half. Yeah. But they already knew that was going to happen, which I just thought was kind of cool.
Yeah.
But obviously, with the COVID timeline, we might have gotten Moths a lot sooner than we are getting it now.
Yeah.
Because obviously this was a book that was in the works way back even at day one. So I read all of that and I really enjoyed it. So I wanted to kind of shout that out for anybody that hasn't read it yet. You should definitely check that out.
Yeah, and how it's all linked together. Yeah.
Did that. And like I said, now it even makes Erratic a little bit better for me. I'm not going to go back and reread it because I've already read it, but it fills in some of the background on, you know, where he got his powers from and, you know, like the Big Death and all that other stuff that they talked about makes a little bit more sense to me. So,
awesome.
I read that.
Awesome. Yeah. I'm looking forward to Moths too. or number one, but yeah,
number
the,
one, yeah.
the
Moths
whole resistance
also.
Thing, that, they all came out. I want to say it's like the first week of March in 2020.
Yeah, they had like a handful of books that all came out at once.
Yeah, it was Resistance, Archangel 8, Hotel.
Looks like I didn't read Archangel 8 either.
Oh, you didn't?
I did read Hotel.
Yeah.
But I didn't read most of that first round of AWA. I didn't read most of that. I kind of came on. Hotel was the first thing that I read.
Yeah.
So.
But that first line, I can't remember I thought they were like six, five. It was five or six of them. And they all came out that. And I thought you had read all of those because we talked about most of
right, but I didn't read the first series. And like I said, once I missed them, I really wasn't going to go back and reread them, you know. So I'm glad I went back and reread that one though, because it was excellent. I really enjoyed it.
Awesome. See? So. Dr. Joe doing the Lord's work again.
Bringing me in.
Well, it wasn't enough that I told you it was good, but okay. All right. I see how it goes. I'll get Dr. Joe on next week. I'll just edit the podcast.
It wasn't so much that he said it was good. It was his description of it, you know.
See?
I mean, he just went into it, you know, and you know, if he would have just said, "Oh, I read The Resistance and it was good," that probably still wouldn't have got me to pick it up and read it.
Well, that's the thing.
You know, they do that segment where they try to convince the other one to read something that they haven't read yet. And that was Dr. Joe's submission.
He convinced you.
He did his job. He convinced me.
That's awesome. Yep.
Awesome. His buddy Nick was talking about some Nightwing issues, but I had already read all of those. And they were good, too. But I didn't need convincing because I already read those.
No, he got me into Nick got me into a Constantine book a while ago. They're great. I love listening to him go back and forth. Nick's always, I don't know if he's really that surprised because I know they have show notes, but Nick's always like, really?
Right.
It's so funny.
That's the first issue. That's the first first show I've actually listened to. I listened to their interview with Scott Snyder a while back because Joe asked.
They have a couple of them now.
Yeah, I think it was his first one. Joe
they're like best buddies with Snyder now.
Yeah, I know. I could tell because they said they've had him on like three times. So
So, but I'll be seeing. I'll be seeing Dr. Joe in the morning.
Yeah, I put him on my subscription list in my iTunes subscription. So I listened to their. Last week's the June Solicits show. I listened to that as well. So
there you go.
Yep.
Cool. All right. Let's see. What else do we got here? I got up on the thing. I still have Moths up there. But did you read Darth Vader last week?
Yes, I did.
That was really good.
It was good.
Yeah. How they have? Oh man, how that intertwining and just really taking what we thought we already knew, but we obviously didn't. There wasn't anything there, but look at the backstory they're putting in between these two movies and everything that I love what Palpatine says. And he's like, no, I've showed him everything. I'm not afraid of him. It's like, don't worry about him. He's not, you know, he can't hurt me. And it's really, really cool how all of these Star Wars entities how they're adding so much more story to what we all thought we knew, but
that whole thing with him, you know, figuring out who Han Solo was and, you know, like him now being on the hunt for Han because, you know, he didn't know who it was that stopped him from killing Luke and, you know, saving the Death Star. And, Yeah. So that whole thing was pretty cool. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
It's basically how he figured out how to go to Cloud City.
Right.
And how, like, the whole, that whole Millennium Falcon thing, like, they're looking
They go to the shipyard. There's all the different Carillion class cruisers there. And
And they're Vader's in the wrong one.
Right. Yeah, it was cool. It was like a shell game. You know, he's in the shell game. Right. You know.
It's like, but we're looking at it going, how did you not get that? It's like, clearly that's the Millennium Falcon over there. Right. That one was pretty cool. The Old Guard, Tales Through Time, number 2. Did you see that? Did you read it?
Yep.
I'm not crazy. I love The Old Guard, but I'm just not crazy about these just one-off stories.
Oh, they don't. I liked them. I thought issue one was better.
Yeah.
Than issue two, because you know each one of them is two stories focusing on different members of the old guard. But like the first story in number two was one of those basically wordless story. Like you read the whole thing in like 35 seconds. You know, it was just how quickly can you turn the pages, because that's all you know. That's all it was. I don't know. I like it because you know it's definitely not a. Like a story necessarily. Like it's not part of the overall old guard story. It's definitely not part three of the old guard that we're kind of waiting for.
No, but and that's what like I'm disappointed.
I kind of like getting the background on the characters though.
So. That like kind of like what we just said about Star Wars. There's tons of background here because they've been around for centuries.
Oh yeah,
thousands of years. You know,
you can go pretty deep.
Yeah, Andy's like what, like 7,000 years old or something like that, or
something, whatever. Yeah.
It's something ridiculous, you know.
She's not as old as B from Berserker, but she's pretty old.
Yeah, maybe that's what I was just thinking. Maybe
he's 80,000 years. He's 80,000 years old. Yeah, that's what he says.
Jeez.
So
yeah, so maybe she is 7,000.
Maybe she's like 70,000. You know, who knows?
I can't even imagine, but yeah, the story, the first two stories were so good that when I read these, I'm just like, come on, get me to that.
Well, we wanted this to be the third,
right?
Basically the third miniseries, and it's just not what this is. So,
right.
But yeah, I still enjoyed it.
How about Robin number two?
He liked it a lot. Yeah. Really good.
Yeah,
I like that series quite a bit.
Yeah. Pretty cool how they kept him alive.
Yeah.
At the end of the first book, he's dead.
Well, yeah, at the end of the first one, they kill him, and then you realize they're on Lazarus Island,
and you're like,
comes back. But, you know, I guess they have their
pretty
rule
cool set of rules.
If you die three times, you stay dead, so.
Right, but you can
like
opt out.
It's not like Krakoa, right? Like, you can't just keep coming back in unlimited amount
of time. Well, they could.
They could. They just won't. Yeah, they won't. If you die three times, you're done, so.
Right. Casual Fling?
Yep, right
four
there.
4-4. That's for an AW.
Finished out pretty well.
I don't see the tie-in on that one with Resistance.
Well, yeah, that's not part of the shared universe.
No.
but
I actually liked how that ended up.
I did too. It was pretty good.
I thought, like, I liked the story, but I didn't really have, like, I didn't think it, like, I think we said it before. It's not his strongest AWA book, but it was still a good book.
No, it's not.
I thought it was a great book for people like us, you know, married and you've been there and you feel, you know, the feelings they were portraying are kind of there. But the way that ended up, I thought was really cool. How, I mean, their relationship, what they ended up doing, why, you know, I thought it was a well-told story.
Yeah, it was. It was good. I think it ended up being better than I think we thought it was going to be when we first read number one, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So. Yeah. And Daredevil 30.
Yep.
You read that? Yeah.
I read that as well. Yeah.
Liking that as well.
Don't remember it, honestly. I don't remember what happened, but I kind of remember
a little bit. A little bit more story on Elektra. And Elektra, and she goes into the club and she says her real name and they're like,
that's right. Yeah.
Aren't you supposed to be in disguise? And she goes, the disguise threatens people. Elektra Nachos threatens people.
She's like, right.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
And she owns the building.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten.
Yeah, that was good.
She ended up buying
Hell's Kitchen basically.
Right. When Tony Stark couldn't.
Right.
Remember?
Yeah, she's rich.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's rich.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. One that I did not get to read yet. And I'm saving it for when I'm very relaxed, could sit down and really enjoy it. But Last Ronin, not Last Ronin. Turtles.
Yeah, Teenage Mutant. I read that as well. Yeah.
You read? Is it good?
Yeah, it is. It's still great. Yeah, it's really good.
Still great. Looking forward. Yeah. That's a lot. It's a thicker. It's a nice book. So
it was. Yeah, it's long. It's like two comics. You know, it's probably 40.
Okay.
40 pages or so. Yeah. It's like a double sized comic, but yeah, it's still a really good story. And I'm not the biggest Turtle fan, honestly. We've talked about it before. Like, I thought the show was cool. Like, I always kind of liked them, but I've never really read the comics and stuff. But yeah, I'm really enjoying this story. So.
And yet all those years ago, you knew who they were and nobody else did. So that's cool.
That's right.
Department of Truth. Did you read that one?
Long. Yeah, I read that too.
A lot of reading.
It was long. Yeah. It was a lot of reading, and it wasn't my favorite issue.
No.
I'm up and down on that series. Like some months I kind of get back on board, but then the next month I'm like, I don't think I'm going to even keep reading this, but then I keep reading
it
anyway.
But you have to, because they come out with gems that you're like, I love the whole intertwining with reality and that the whole conspiracy theories of reality. It's like, I mean, conspiracy theories, some of them are quacky. Some of them are, you're like, I could see that. I mean, even I'm like, what if the earth was flat? That'd be crazy. It's like,
but yeah, that last issue was long.
Yeah.
But again, it was kind of like, I respect Tynan, whatever. Yeah. I respect his writing, like, and his creativity.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, there's definitely a lot of stuff going on there.
Yeah, he's got a messed up head.
But yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I'm not always into it.
No.
I keep reading it anyways.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Yeah, because you're afraid you're going to miss something. And that's good writing. Doesn't always have to be perfect, but guess what?
Right.
You're in because you want.
Well,
I
keep reading it, so.
Right. So, all right. What are we moving on to next? Looking forward to next week. We have. Nice House on the Lake.
Yeah, I'm going to read DC. The Nice House on the Lake from DC.
Speaking and then of Tinian.
Moths number one from AWA.
Yep.
Are the two I'm looking forward to. I mean, I actually may throw Basilisk in there too, because I actually really want to read that as well. So I couldn't really decide between, I couldn't pick two or, you know, but.
All right. Well,
I'll probably have Basilisk in there as well. So.
All right. We'll check that out. I'll have to put that one down as well. Yeah, because since I'm that's what I'll end up doing. I'll just probably read that as well. So we will see. Next week will be good. All right. That brings us to Real World.
Yeah, so definitely
what
not.
What did you watch this week?
Yeah, definitely not The Real World from 2 weeks ago.
Week ago.
I didn't watch nearly as much. But we did watch Lucifer.
All of it?
Yeah, all of it.
So, I as I said earlier, I only watched the first episode. I don't know about you, but I was kind of disappointed. I don't have a memory like you. I have to, and you're always like, well, you remember this stuff. Yeah, because I watch it like 10 times.
Yeah.
You watch something once and you're like, oh, that's such and such. I was a little disappointed they didn't give you a previously.
Well, yes and no, Lucifer. Yes, because I said the same thing to Lydia. I was like, I would have really liked a little recap on this.
It literally, did it not, did the
it
first
just,
episode
it just
not
literally
feel like,
jumped right into.
I felt like they came in mid-episode, never mind mid-season. Yeah. I was like.
Well, it literally picked up where it left off.
Yes.
But it was. A year ago, or maybe not quite a year ago, but I mean, it was a while. It was a year in the sense of I've watched 8,000 things since I watched Lucifer. You know
John,
what I mean?
I feel like it was a year ago.
But it probably was like close to a year ago. So yeah, I could have done with a little previously on as well. But
thank you.
But I did remember, like, I knew that it ended with, you know, God, basically Dennis Haysbert there, but I couldn't remember why they were like. It was the other stuff that was happening that I didn't remember specifically what was going on. But once you get into it, like once it kind of got going, it all comes back, and you know,
well,
again,
it's just like
even
a good comic
this is,
book, they do the same thing. They'll give you little nuggets as you go. Oh yeah. That's what they were talking
about.
Well,
and even though it's Netflix and it's like it definitely has a cohesive story, but it's also they're a series of one-offs in a sense too because. There's a different murder mystery every week. So once you get into the flow of watching the episodes, it just kind of goes, you know, you just go through them, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, we watched all of the season. I think there was 8 episodes. We started Saturday afternoon and we finished Sunday night. And then.
How many are there? I didn't even look.
Yeah, there's 8.
There's 8 more?
Yeah, there's 8.
So 16 total.
Yeah, that's there were 16 total. So, yeah, obviously that's going to, you know, it leads into season 6, which we'll get sometime next year. But season 6, they've already revealed, is only 10 episodes total. So we'll probably get that in one. Like, I don't think they'll split that up like they did with
right.
with this season, which 10 episodes is actually the standard from Netflix. Like, season 5 got it, you know, it basically got an expanded season.
Right.
But, you know, it ended up being pretty good. Like, I don't want to talk too much about it because you've only watched the first episode. But,
yeah,
you know, it definitely sets up the season 6. Like, this one, this second half of the season, even though I just mentioned that, you know, again, you need to have a lot of, like, the murder of the week things to kind of watch. But yeah. It definitely had a very cohesive, like, there was more of a story for this season than what you normally get. Like, they definitely were building to something, and they got there by the, you yeah. know, by the end. And it really sets up, like, I actually can't wait for season 6. Like, I can't wait for it to come back. Because
cool.
it's just another good, you know, really good season. Like,
oh, we love the show.
Once you get into it, you won't get into
the
show.
I love the characters. I love him. Yeah. I mean, even just the first episode alone, you get right back into it. And you love, I love the fact they have him playing two characters. Now.
Well, right. Like, say Michael's back through pretty much
Tom Ellis. Is that his name?
Yeah. Tom Ellis. Yeah. Michael's back for the whole season too. So you get like the double shot of, Tom Ellis.
His American accent is like, it's hysterically bad.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm like, what is he doing? It's like he's doing a bad American accent.
Yeah, well.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like, you know when somebody wants to
because
like.
Because we all do bad British accents, so.
Well, speak for yourself. I don't do one.
American actors all do traditionally bad British accents.
You know what I mean? Like when somebody tries to do a bad accent, like they're purposely making fun of somebody doing a bad accent, they'll do a bad accent. Right. And that's what I mean. Not when somebody is like honestly, because there are people that have done fantastic American accents that I didn't even.
Oh, yeah.
Actors you didn't even know were British. And then you find out after the fact.
That's the whole thing, because there's so many British actors that do roles and you would never know that they weren't American because they do a great job. Right. But it's never the other way around. American actors, I can't think of too many that have ever done like a good British accent. Like we can't go backwards, you know. Right.
Like most people don't realize I'm really in Texas. I just do a banger of a New England accent.
Exactly. But, you know, most people don't – like, I wouldn't have known Christian Bale was English. I wouldn't have known
– Until you heard him go on a rant.
I wouldn't have known any of these – Tom Holland, any of these actors.
Right.
I wouldn't have known any of them were British because they all do a great American accent.
But. That's what I mean. But, like, the one that Tom Ellis is doing, if you'd never met him, you'd be like, well, he's just doing a bad accent. Like, that's not even close to any part of America. But all right, what else you got?
We watched. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask you because I watched. We finished it. Did you finish Mayor of Easttown?
Yes, I was just going. I was going to bring that up. Yeah, we watched the finale this week of that.
Yep.
You watched it already?
We watched it all. We caught up and watched it. Yeah.
So I was going to say, like, this doesn't have to be a Kryptonite Key Club kind of thing, but you know, I was watching it, and you get into it, and. Like 5 minutes into the episode, they kind of like wrap the whole thing up. So you think, you know.
Well, and that's what I said to Jen. I go, so, that like, can't be it.
Well, right. I looked over at Lydia and I said, well, like 5 minutes in, they've already solved it. So I guess the rest of the episode is everybody just being sad, you know, and like epiloguing the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it unravels obviously all the way to the end. And again, didn't see that coming at all. So
no, in the first 5 minutes, I don't want to give it away, but in the first 5 minutes, I said to Jen, I picked another. I'll tell you after the fact. I guessed another character.
Yeah,
I was like, nope. There's no way. And when I tell you, it'll make total sense. I'm sure you thought the same thing. But yeah, what a great ending. But you knew after the first 5 minutes is all the whole show's wrapped up and you're like, we got another 55 to go.
Yeah.
This has got to be more here. And clearly there was. Great show. Not exactly bright side chat material. But
no, it's not.
Great drama.
And it's not a happy ending really at all.
No.
But
very
really
much,
good show. Yeah.
Very much like in the same vein as what was the one with Chris Evans we watched.
Defending Jacob.
That yeah. It was like that. Then there was, what was the other one with?
Well, you had the one with Hugh Grant.
Hugh Grant, and, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, where, you know, they all were good shows, but yeah, none of them really ended on a high note. But,
no,
you know that show's not going to. Like, the mayor of Easttown, like, it's a crap show from the beginning. Like, she is she is not together in any way. You know what I mean? So, like, if you thought at the beginning you were going to get a happy ending, you weren't paying attention. You know what I mean? So,
in any sense of the word.
Yeah. But it was really, really good. Really, I enjoyed it.
I thought one of the highlights of the show was, what's his name from Iron Man 3? And I liked him.
Oh, Guy Pearce.
Guy Pearce, yeah.
Well, I know, because I said to my wife,
I thought he was a great character.
It's the first time he's not a bad guy, too.
I know. Like,
he's always the bad guy. And we kind of kept waiting for him to be the bad guy. I almost thought he was the killer, because he's just always the bad guy.
Right.
So, but yeah, he was really good.
He was really good, and he was kind of – wasn't he – I mean, he's not inconsequential, but he's not
– Well, I mean, he wasn't a big part of the story. Like, he could have been gone, and you never would have –
Right.
Never would have missed
But
him.
That's what I thought was cool about the show, is there was a lot of that. Like, it was basically just small town story that was like, hey, this isn't important stuff, but we're going to tell you everything.
Yeah.
And there was, I mean, there were how many stories in that show that they didn't really intertwine. And some you thought did and didn't, and then others did. But, you know, you were like, wow, I just thought it was, you know, very interesting how they wove that story,
woven.
But
weaved.
Weaved. But to the point of you're saying, like, all these shows seem to be like, they all end very depressing. Is that, do you think they're doing that on purpose? Like, let's get these shows out during like what we just went through, and it like makes our lives seem a little better.
Oh, I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, wow, at least I'm not like that.
Yeah. I'm more together than she is. At least I have that going for me, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It was a rough town too. Like, everything going on in that town, you're like, I'd move.
Right. Like, I know.
It's get like out. People going missing, people getting killed. You're like, it's like, ugh.
Yeah. And it's not like it was New York City, you know?
No.
It's like, it's some, you know, outside of Delco, Philadelphia or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you can see if it's New York City, somebody goes missing or gets killed every 10 minutes there, but not necessarily in these small towns. But
you got guys just taking kids into the woods and shooting them. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, nice town. That happens once in my neighborhood. I'm moving.
Exactly.
Never mind, like, a few times.
Right.
Hey, that's just the way we do things out here. What? So, all right, what else do you watch? Because I think I'm out.
Really, the only other thing I watched. Well, we got caught up on Van Helsing. I didn't realize that had come back. It's on Sci-Fi, the new season. So we were 4 or 5 episodes behind because we didn't know it came back. So we actually caught up and watched that. That's kind of what we did before we started Lucifer. But then we started the last season of The Kominsky Method, which showed up on Netflix. I could tell by your face you haven't watched that show.
Sounds like a birth control.
That is it's such a great show. It's got Michael Douglas, Alan Arkin.
Jen
Paul
wants
Reiser.
Us to watch that, yes.
Oh, man, it is so great.
Is it?
So, yeah, so season 3 dropped this week also. They're only like 25-minute episodes.
Okay.
And I think there's only 6
comedy?
Episodes. Yeah, it's definitely a comedy. Season 3 is the final season. There's only 6 episodes. We watched like 4 of them last night, and then we've got like 2 left. We'll finish actually tonight when we're done here. But yeah, if you haven't watched that show, it is really great.
Yeah.
But here's the funny thing, and you will probably recognize him right away because you were just telling me you watched the Mad About You, like the new Mad About You thing. But Paul Reiser is in this show. And I don't know what he looked like on Mad About You.
Yeah.
But he doesn't now look like he used to look when he was younger, right? So he's been in this show since season 2. He was in almost all of season 2. I had no idea who it was. But I kept seeing his name in the credits. And I kept telling Lydia, I was like, oh, Paul Reiser, they keep putting his name in here, but I haven't seen him yet. I said, I guess he's going to show up sometime before the season's over. And then all of a sudden, like the third episode we watched last night,
right?
For some reason, it just switched in my head. And I was like, oh, my God, that's Paul Reiser. Because in this show, he's gray-haired and balding with a ponytail and kind of overweight. But his voice definitely, you know, his voice is definitely Paul Reiser. But yeah, I watched the whole season two and half of season three before I figured out who he was.
Yeah.
But he's great. Yeah, he's great in this show too.
I gotta watch this show. You are blowing out the levels over here. Don't worry about it. It's wicked funny. It's just like everything is bright red.
The other one that's in it too is just this season. And I knew who she was right away as soon as I saw her name. But Kathleen Turner is in this season. But like, oh my God, she looks rough.
Yeah.
Like Kathleen Turner is definitely not looking like Kathleen, Romancing the Stone, Kathleen Turner.
Right. Well, and that's what I said. Jen brought
Which
this
actually,
up.
That just popped into my head too, that they were both in that movie.
Yeah.
Michael Douglas was in that too. Yeah. So.
That's what I said to Jen when she brought it up. She was like, I want to see this. I heard it was really good. And I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, you remember what they were in together? Because I think the ad for it had the two of them.
It was Michael Douglas
and Kathleen Turner. And she's like, no. I go, come on. When we were kids, it was a great movie. I remember seeing it in the theater. That was a fun movie. And she's like, what was it? And I was like, Romancing the Stone. You don't remember that? And she's like, oh, yeah, she remembered the movie. But, yeah,
but it's like,
they were in that together.
But he still looks the same, just kind of with gray hair. She looks a lot different.
Yeah, well, you know? Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately.
Like the years haven't been as kind to her as they were to Michael Douglas.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, anyway, so we watched – that's really the only other – we watched, the first four episodes of that, and that's kind of it for us this week. So, I mean, I did watch The Bad Batch, obviously.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Cool. I'm still plugging away on The Warrior. I'm almost done with season one. I watched a couple, and I wanted to finish, but I didn't finish Jupiter's Legacy. I haven't finished that yet. Just a few left. But enjoying that right in the middle of it, though, you finished it, you read the books, but in the middle of it, it takes a weird,
mentioned this one.
Yeah.
I didn't mention it. I don't think, cause I didn't want to spoil anything for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But well, to me, it's not even the daughter. It's the backstory to me.
Yeah.
Goes on for probably two episodes too long, you know?
Okay. Yeah. You did mention that a little bit.
Yeah. I think that really dragged out, especially the episodes where he was just like rambling and yelling at himself and like totally crazy.
Yeah.
I thought that was a little bit too long. But overall, I really liked that show. So
yeah. I watched Rambo First Blood Part 2.
Okay.
I watched that the other day. Oh, so excited.
I haven't seen that in forever.
I hadn't either. And I'm going to have more on that in a future podcast, but it's future home theater podcast. But it's my dad took me to see that, and I was so excited. I just put it on. I'm like, I can't believe I haven't watched it in a long time, because I noticed things that I hadn't remembered. Not it's more home theater stuff, like sights and sounds that I'd never noticed before. But anyways, yeah, my dad took me to see that, and it came out 36 years ago.
Yeah.
To right about now. So it was May 22nd in 1985, and it was a Tuesday or Wednesday night, and my dad just comes down to me. I'm downstairs watching TV or whatever, and he goes, "Want to go to the movies?" And I was like, okay.
Yeah, sure.
And he's like, I'm like, what are we going to see? He goes, come on, let's go. And we went up, and he took me in. That was my first rated R movie. I was 14 years old, and my dad, on a school night, he took me to see Rambo. And it was such a big deal to me, because in my house, we had four kids, and we didn't do a lot. I only have a handful of things that it was just me and my dad, you know, because it was always, I got to do this. I mean, taking me to my football and my baseball, it was like, drop you at the field and take off. It was like... Right. Because they were, you know, my parents both worked and it was crazy. Yeah. And so these are the small things. And it was like, it was such a big deal. And then just watching it again, I'm like, I'm just thinking of these different scenes and stuff and being like, oh man, I remember seeing it in the theater and it was just so much fun. But trying to think of what else. I watched a couple other things in the theater, but can't remember what else. Oh, but anyways, yeah. So yeah, that's about all I have. I didn't get to watch a lot this week with Jen upstairs, but yeah, plugging away on The Warrior and Jupiter's Legacy, and we really enjoyed Mare of Easttown. So
yeah, that was really good.
All right, you ready to get to a little Bad Batch chat?
Sure.
All right. What did you think of this week's episode? We could talk a little bit of spoilers because there's not a ton to it, but
yeah,
I think everybody's going along with it.
I don't know. Remind me?
Is it Mookie?
I'm sure
Moochie?
I remember.
Moochie?
Oh, Moochie. Yes. The Rancor. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, the Rancor.
So, yeah, that's right. In the what's her name there? The lizard chick. I can't remember her name.
Yeah. So
I thought it was good. You know, it was like, I don't know. None of these episodes, like you said, spoiler. None of them seem like Kryptonite Key Club worthy or anything. Like,
nothing is
happening in a lot of these episodes, but they're just fun, you know, to watch.
I have a question for you that I'm going to save. We'll do very quick Kryptonite Key Club because I don't want to give it away if you haven't been watching it, but it won't take long. But I think this is a big one. I think this episode had a big one that I want to ask you if you think it's true. But the whole Moochie thing going for the kid, that reminded me of Grogu.
Yeah.
And I was like doing the math in my head and I'm like, I'm wondering if we'll see him because he's going to be relatively the same age. Grogu could show up here.
No, he could, right? He's 50 when we see him in
Mandalorian. What's he going to be in this? 48?
Yeah.
Oh, or 46?
Right around the same time period. So.
Right, because Mandalorian takes place 5 years after Return of the Jedi. Right. So this here is right before Return of the Jedi. So maybe six. So he's 44. You know what I mean?
Is it that far, though?
What?
This show?
This show
takes to Return of the Jedi. I mean, I know it takes place shortly after Order 66, which would have been.
I thought
before A New Hope.
Oh,
how far
after
Order 66 does this take place?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, this is more like New Hope era, which would still
put him in his 40s, like Grogu maybe 40.
Maybe in like his 35. 30, you know, 40 somewhere.
Yeah,
around
yeah.
There. For some reason,
I was putting this show right after, in between Empire, doing what the comic books are doing right now, in between Empire and Jedi. And you're right. This is just before.
This is more, I think, more Rebels time period, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah
so
more
even,
Rebels
even,
time
yeah,
period.
Way earlier. Okay. So I was way off on time. Yeah, he would be in his 30s. Because
actually, you're looking at young Tarkin here. So
young Tarkin.
Not young Tarkin,
yeah,
but he's like Moff Tarkin. He's not even Moff Tarkin yet.
Right.
So, yeah.
I'm mixing the book up, the books,
yeah,
the comics
sooner.
With this. Yeah, much sooner. Because
much sooner. Maybe 20 years sooner, actually. So
25 years before. So, yeah, Grogu's probably 25.
Yeah.
Roughly. Because Luke and Leia are literally being born. As this is taking place. They were it. And then by the time Jedi takes place, they were almost like 25.
Right.
So that answers that. So that could. All right. So but we could still see him. He'd just be half his
age.
He'd
just be younger. Right.
But how much younger can you really be? It's like he's baby.
He's basically at 25. He's like a newborn. Right. So.
Right. Right.
So. He might not even be walking.
But we still could
even,
see him.
I wasn't even walking at 25. Come on.
Yeah. Exactly. So, but yeah, it's, let's save that for, I do think that we have a pretty cool little tie-in here that could have ramifications if not just sentimental. But we'll save that for Kryptonite.
I think I know what you're going to ask. Okay. Yeah, well, yeah.
All right. All right. All right. You ready to wrap it up then?
Sure.
All righty. All right. So that'll do it for this week. Nice, tidy show. Under 2 hours so far, but we have a little quick Kryptonite Key Club for us. So this week, we'll be back next week. But in the meantime, you can reach us at brightside_chat, or you can reach John at Arkham Comics. That's comics with an X. And you can email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. And check us out on the Nerdy Legion, us and all the other great podcasts over there. And also go to YouTube and hit subscribe. That would be a lot of fun because you can see all of the images, all of the books that we talked about.
See all of this.
And John's smiling face. And what he's about to do, I'm sure down below, I can't see right now, but he's getting his fingers ready.
Oh, no, I have
them. Oh, mine not even on. There we go. All right, that'll do it for this week. Little quick Kryptonite Key Club, and then we'll see you next week. Have a great week, everybody.
All right, live long and prosper.
Hey, Fred. All right, John. Is that door locked? Where is the door lock? Hang on. Don't say nothing until I find it. Where did the door lock go? Nope, that's not it.
That's not it.
Where did... Oh, here we go. Well, now you can say it's locked.
It's locked. Yes, it is locked. Well, I was waiting. You know, I was like, I got thrown off by all the
come
all the
on.
Waiting around.
It went so much better in rehearsal.
Yep.
In rehearsal, you kept saying it was locked during the crickets part.
That's right.
All right. My little Bad Batch Kryptonite Key Club question. Moochie. Does Luke kill Moochie?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah, they've already answered that.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, that was brought up and asked right after the episode.
So I just wrote it.
The producers have confirmed that it wasn't.
Why? Because they don't want Luke to have killed such a cute kid?
They don't want, exactly. They don't want that bad karma.
Oh, I sent some backstory telling that I think maybe. They made this story and went and realized after the show, like, uh-oh.
But I knew that's what you were going to ask me.
That's what I mean. Well, because everybody had to, like you said, everybody thought it. I didn't see it anywhere. I just thought it right after the show. And I was like, wait a minute. Does Luke kill Moochie? Because he goes. Do you think he goes?
Well, he goes to Jabba. Yeah, he goes to Jabba's for sure. But I guess there was more than one Rancor
and
there.
Don't get me wrong. I felt for that Rancor when Luke killed him. Because after he was dead, they even showed
that. Rancors are just doing what Rancors do. Like, it's not the monster's fault, you know.
No.
It's not Jaws' fault that he ate you. Jaws is just being Jaws, you know. So.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's what sharks do.
Right. So, but yeah, they kind of have said that it wasn't Moochie that Luke kills. So.
All right. Well, I don't know if I believe them.
I think they're
backtracking a little bit there.
Yeah. They don't want that bad karma. One other thing, juju.
Exactly. One other thing I thought was really cool is Wrecker. He's out punching a Rancor.
Yeah.
It's just like.
Well, they both kind of just like they. Both punch. They're like two old fighters that just
but
keep
that's
punching
what I mean.
Each other. Yeah,
and but then, he like, was trying to let the Rancor punch itself out, and it's like a Rancor.
Right.
He's just like, I'm just gonna.
And then they both just fall on each other, and then they love each other. You know.
Right. Exactly. He's like, I've got to be the alpha. That's what it was. They respond to the alpha or whatever they said. Right. And it was like, he's like, I'm just gonna beat on it until it's.
They get that mutual love kumbaya.
Yeah. Exactly.
Thing going on at the end. So.
Yeah, it's like two fighters in hockey after they're done punching each other in the face and knocking teeth out, and they pat each other on the head and go to the penalty box.
Exactly.
Like, okay, there you go. So that'll do it. That was quick.
Yep.
Quick and easy. All right. You got anything else?
No, I don't think so.
All right. That'll do it. We'll be back next week. Have a great week, everybody.
All right. Take care, all.
Take care of them
all.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's a take care all. Blah, 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 blah.